VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 427, recorded on June 6th, 427th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 260th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
I am TJ Denzer.
And I am Scott Dirk.
The VGR Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, it's that time of year again, folks. Next week is going to be E3, and I personally will be there. These two won't be. But I know that Scott is probably very interested in hearing what I have to say when I go to the Civ 6 demonstration.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Actually, did you see the 30-minute video by this guy? He has a really thick accent, but he talks about all the mechanics.
Will?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting stuff there. What from that impressed you most, actually, Scott, that he talked some of the new mechanics?
Well, I'm glad. Well, some of the stuff is... like some old aspects from Civ 4
coming back, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're actually making it. Yeah, they're combining it. You're going to have the boundaries again, the expanding boundaries of city. Is it cities or nations?
Well, there were cities, yeah. And yeah. They always had boundaries, but you didn't have the Part 4 had the filter where you could see the range of your city, so that way right. kind of better gauge where you could settle a new one.
And now you actually plop down the buildings into it too.
And I missed that. I also like the new thing they're doing with the city states, where you send them invoice and you don't have a decaying number thing.
That always annoyed me. Oh, here's some money, so you stop grousing that I'm no longer your ally or friend. Shut up, or I'll just invade you and annex you. I think they were de-emphasizing city states in the first place.
I don't think they're de-emphasized. I think they're more specialized now. They have a tier of bonuses that they'll give you depending on how many envoys you have. So you might get a more... like, if you want a religious city-state, and it might benefit you to your strategy more to get them versus maybe going after military city-states to get military units and culture for culture ones and so on.
The thing that I'm most excited about is diplomacy, in which early in the Stone Age, or just after the Stone Age, your only diplomatic options are, I won't bonk you on the head, you know, and they only get more complex as you get more civilized.
Yeah, definitely, and you're like, you're training up your diplomacy as you're doing more discussions talks and whatnot.
Anyways, so yeah, I mean, there's some interesting stuff. Most of this podcast is going to be about stuff that's going to be appearing in E3, so we can discuss that later. However, what have you been playing lately, Alpha? I mean, Scott, whatever your name is.
I've been playing the Far Harbor expansion for Fallout 4. I don't know if we talked about it before.
No, we didn't.
Okay.
But the other thing that's important about Fallout 4 also is that the Xbox One is getting the... it's getting the mods now, finally. Now everybody can have the Randy Macho Man Death Claws running around. Oh, yeah!
there's a ton of mods already for
the game.
Actually,
the thing I want to get is the cat mod.
Somebody, I just recently saw somebody made a machinima of Rick and Morty in Fallout 4, and they recreated scenes from the cartoon in the game, and it was so awesome.
Actually, Far Harbor is actually supposed to be in Boston, something else, Harbor.
Yeah, Desert Island, I think.
No, there's a name for it. It's Tar Harbor or Blar Harbor or something like that. Okay. Maybe Bar Harbor. It's an actual place in Boston. It's just that the letters fell off the sign. I mean, parts of it fell off the sign, so now it's Far Harbor.
I think it's Bar Harbor.
Yeah. But how big is it? It's supposed to be massive.
Yeah, it's a good size. I'm not. I guess it's bigger than the Stolstein in the previous Skyrim, But I don't know.
It's Bar Harbor.
I feel like I've explored most of it now already. So I don't know.
It's based on Bar Harbor, which is in Maine.
Yeah, I've done the main quest of that island, which I thought was really good. And they do more skill checks besides just charisma. And you get a peaceful resolution if you want. Although we could argue about what if it's really the right decision or not.
Did you want to kill everybody? I still love the pit.
You can kill everybody.
I still love the pit because the seeming bad guys are actually not so bad guys, and the seeming good guys were total assholes.
Yeah.
You know, that really made you have to do a serious moral quandary in that expansion.
Definitely.
Without giving anything away, what is the main theme of Far Harbor? What exactly are you doing there?
Well, you're trying to settle peace between conflicting factions.
Why?
Because they each want to live on... Well, two of them want to live on the island and not have the other one there. And the third one just wants everybody to get along.
But is it like the Institute involved or the Brotherhood?
No,
or?
The Institute is not involved, even if you...
These factions on their own, they have nothing to do with the main game's factions?
They don't, but you can bring in the main game factions if they're still around. So you can bring someone in from the Railroad, or you can bring in the Brotherhood. You could probably bring in the Institute, but I had already done that part, so I don't know. But there probably is an option to tell the Institute, and you can have them come in as well. It doesn't... This conflict has nothing to do with... the main story's conflict. This one is about basically two groups of people wanting to live on the island, and their ideology is getting in the way of that, because you have the Children of the Atom who believe in radiation.
Those folks who were in that area where the scientist was and all these rad scorpions.
No, there's no scientist thing there at all.
Yeah, the guy who gets cured of being a super mutant.
That's in a total different area.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but the Children of the Atom, those are the same people, aren't they?
Yeah, they just point you in the direction of that guy. Right.
The thing is that you'll notice that where the Children of the Atom is in the main game is on the water, you know, where Far Harbor is beyond, so it sort of makes sense.
Yeah, and Far Harbor has this radioactive fog that is just all over the island. And so you're, like, constantly getting hit with radiation when you're exploring the place. Yeah, so definitely bring power. Yeah.
Or power armor. How about you, Scott? What am I saying? How about you, TJ? What have you been playing?
I've been doing a number of things recently. First, on top of the list, started up the Blood and Wine expansion to Witcher 3.
Mm.
It's gorgeous. Tucson is...
Everybody's raving about it.
In a world... where it was already pretty beautiful. And had
is that the start for a movie trailer? In a world where it was once beautiful.
Witcher 3 was already freaking gorgeous. Right. The Wild Hunt. But Tucson... There's something about...
Which platform are you playing it on?
I'm playing it on PS4.
Okay.
So I don't really have access to the mods that would up it further. But even for what it is in its like vanilla state, it's like an Italian countryside, and like there's also like
a lot of swords and death. Oh wait, that is the Italian countryside. Never mind.
I feel like that's what they were going for, is like a gorgeous Italian countryside. You get what's that city in Italy that's pretty much underwater now?
Oh, not Vienna, but that's not even in Italy.
But you get a sense of what they were going for, this wine, lavish, excessive countryside of rich people that have all these vineyards, and there's just all this exotic plant life and stuff.
Oh, that's in Spain. No, that's in Portugal, actually. I'm sorry. Minos?
I'm sorry?
That's Greece. Minos, which is supposedly what Atlantis was. Minos.
I'd know if it came to me, but... The game, and just like they did a revamp on the user interface for the menus in this one.
Okay.
I never really thought about how disorganized it was in the original one, because it didn't feel that way. But when you look at the user interface in this expansion, after like and then look back at the other one, you think it's like it's so much better. Like, they redid it so that your armor is in one category of items and your weapons are in one category of items. Your oil, all your potions and oils are in one category. Your bombs are in a category. Everything just feels so much easier to get to.
You want to bet that change was because of Cyberpunk 2077? Want to bet they said they for the interface for Cyberpunk 2077 they said, oh shit, this is really really good. Let's use it for our expansion.
That would make perfect sense. It's so, like, it didn't feel hard before, but it certainly feels easier now.
Well, maybe I think it just feels smoother.
I think the Fallout and Skyrim UI could use some better interface, especially when you're trying to sort through all your inventory.
Yeah, actually, there is a mod that alphabetizes everything. puts them in, there's a mod that I heard about.
Yeah,
it's also available on the Xbox One, which actually puts them in categories, so at least you have that.
Yeah, Skyrim did a much better one, or somebody modded one for Skyrim. It's called Skyrim UI,
and you could
organize it by, like, swords and daggers and just get really detailed so that way you can sort through your stuff quicker and filter out things that, you know, like keys and little tapes.
Well, the Fallout 4 one actually really helps when it comes to the miscellaneous. They have the mod for that, in which they it'll sort them by component, you know. So it's like, oh, I need ceramic. Oh, these have ceramic. Great.
Oh yeah, you do the search feature or something.
Yeah, I know, but it's not. But they make it more. They sort it by it, so you don't have to do that stupid search feature.
Yeah.
Which just says, oh, it just has the light up and it says, well, it could be ceramic or it could be oil, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah.
But when it comes to Blood and Wine, this is supposedly the send off for Witcher in general. They've said that this is going to be the last thing that they do in that franchise for a while. And if that's the case, it's a good one. It's a very good way to end what they've got going with that and move on to something else.
I'm excited for Cyberpunk 2077. I mean, that's basically what they've been. Now the entire team at CD Projekt Red is working on Cyberpunk 2077, and it'll be a nice little change of pace from the sword and sorcery, because, you know, there's just so much sword and sorcery that elves and dwarves. Yeah, we get it. Elves and dwarves.
Technology is just real magic.
I guess, but, you know, at least have something that's different, you know.
Yeah,
I really want to see.
Now, that would be actually a fun game where you think you're in a world of magic, but it's actually really advanced technology.
That's what Shadowrun is.
Yeah.
Well, no, but you know there's technology in magic.
Yeah, that's just Shadowrun. Yes. Well, actually, it's the opposite, because in Shadowrun, it's in the future. There is another property that has technology in the past, but we usually call that steampunk, not steampunk.
I mean, like, there is no magic, and technology is pretending to be magic.
Oh.
In Shadowrun, you have magic and technology merged together.
That was sort of like, what's that game that we talked about several times that they issued a recall on the CDs?
Oh, that's Too Human.
Too Human. That had a lot of that going on.
Yeah. They also, the reverse of that, in which all magic is now technology, you know, all technology is actually magic, is The Wizard on 4th Street.
Yeah.
I suggest that read. I'm surprised they haven't made a game out of that universe, but
I've been reading Harry Dresden Files. Is it anything like that?
Okay, this is not the book podcast, so let's not get too deep into literature here.
I wasn't.
What else have you been playing?
I've been working on the new Guilty Gear for review, Guilty Gear Xrd Revelator. It's great. I love fighting games. I've played most of them. I dig my Street Fighters, my King of Fighters. Guilty Gear has always been at the top of my list.
Does that make you feel guilty?
No.
Okay.
Dan would appreciate that pun.
I was doing a Red Letter Media thing there.
Guilty Gear has always struck me as, like, they're always one step. They always strike me as being just one step ahead of Capcom when it comes to most of the implementation.
All these games are always surprising that I hear that people have huge, huge fans, like King of Fighters. King of Fighters has a following? Really? I mean,
yeah.
It's like, no, it's just like, okay. It's like, I'm not in the genre in the know.
Well, it's like how you feel Diablo 2 is one of the best Diablos, and it has a huge following still. And to me, it's like,
no, it isn't
really?
That. I'm talking about the entire series, though. It's like, oh,
okay.
King of Fighters is a thing?
You're not going to get like million-dollar tournaments like they throw at Street Fighter.
There are people who are excited for King of Fighters 13. It's like, wait, there was more than one.
Yeah.
And Guilty Gear has about a billion of them. Except you wouldn't know that because they don't usually use numbers, but often they also do the old Street Fighter thing: Guilty Gear X Fen Turbo Edition. You know,
Guilty Gear X, Guilty Gear X Reload, Guilty Gear X2, Guilty Gear XX, Guilty Gear X Reload.
They use symbols. Funny looking symbol. They're not Japanese letters. They're not American letters. They're just weird things.
Hey, listen, I agree with you. Guilty Gear X0 isn't a very good way to number it.
Guilty Gear XX, is that supposed to be 20 or is it supposed to be a porno or what?
We didn't never quite make it to Guilty Gear XXX.
No, that's actually one of the Dead or Alive games. You know, that series is the porno.
But, that said, Guilty Gear X-Zerd is possibly one of the most technically proficient fighting games there is. And I say that without any doubt in my voice.
It's like I hear Blaze Blue and I say, well, that's a thing, too?
Blaze Blue is made by the same people who made Guilty Gear.
Yeah. There's another one there's another fighting game series that's actually become very popular very fast, and that's the Skullgirls games. It's like, that hit like a lightning bolt. It's like, Skullgirls, yeah! I said, what? This Kickstarter just went through it. All of a sudden, it's like, it's been around forever, even though it hasn't. You know?
Yeah, and
well, it might be one of those cult following things.
It's a cult following times 10.
Those people made another Kickstarter. It's like an action RPG game that hit, it hit its goal in no time. I forget what the name of it is right now, but it's sort of like... it has a very Tales of Destiny sort of vibe to it.
Well, Tales of Destiny was just done by one guy. Oh wait, no. Was it that one guy who did? It was Tales of Destiny, yeah, right? And one guy did the entire thing, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And you always hear about these single person development teams, like the dude who did, the Harvest Moon style game, and already I forgot its name.
Oh, Stardew Valley.
Yeah, I mean, the one guy did everything in that. The music, everything, and, you know... I guess if you're going to devote 5 years to a single game, I mean, it's a long development cycle. But still, you know, you have to... It's hard to concentrate that long on anything, really.
But yeah, Guilty Gear X-Zerd Revelator comes out tomorrow. If anyone wants a game where the developer actually puts all the features in from the beginning... Capcom.
Wow.
Then that's the one to go for. It's so awesome. Like, it's so fast-paced, and it's a little difficult to learn, but it's one of the most rewarding fighting games out there. Third game I've been playing, I went back to Dishonored.
Okay. Because of the sequel.
Yeah, well, I...
The sequel's coming. It's probably going to get a big thing at E3.
I do a thing on Saturdays. It's called the Saturday Slay. It's a little stream I do. Mm-hmm. And, I had been playing Dark Souls 3 for a while, and I got bored of it. So I was like, well, this sequel is coming up, and the original is one of my favorite games of all time. Probably easily in the top 3.
I'm going to try to play that again and not be a murder man, and just try to be completely pacifistic.
See, that's the thing, is that when I played it a long time ago, I played it non-lethal, and I never did the murder side. So for the Saturday Slay, I decided I was going to kill everybody. And it's so much fun!
You see all the rats running around. Because that's what happens. The more you kill, the more rats come out because there's a lot more dead bodies and everything becomes more diseased and just everything is just, oh, congratulations, Corvo. You just made town a shit place.
Yeah, well, I was
a killed
good
all
guy
the innocent
once.
People too. No witnesses left alive.
I was a good guy once. And
if you're alive, you're dead. No one has to see me.
As interesting as it is to get the good ending for being non-lethal, there's only a handful of tools in that game that are made for non-lethal characters. Mm-hmm. You get basically, and I'm talking about for actually engaging enemies, and that's the non-lethal takedown and the sleep dart. Murderers get so many cool things to do.
Yeah, but you know the thing is that I became Murder Man when I thought I had saved somebody, and his daughter said, "No, you didn't save him." I said, "Oh fuck this! I'm not gonna even bother anymore. I'm just gonna murder everybody. If I'm gonna be looked at as a murderer by this twat who I spared everybody in the damn castle, including her father, you know, and I thought I hit him well. That's it. You're dead.
Goodbye. That's a story, though. That's like a change for you as a character. I just came out of the prison cell murdering
everybody
story. In my way.
That's a meta story, though. That's like, wait a minute. The flag didn't go saying that I didn't, that I saved them? Are you kidding me? That's it. You're all dying now.
I like that. That's the kind of thing that you should get out of a game like Dishonored.
Yeah, but that was more out of laziness, because I didn't want to have to go back and try it again and see different ways I could have done it.
Yeah.
You know, I just said, screw it. Okay. Let me be a monster, then. I didn't play any of the expansions, though. Actually, one of the good things about Deus Ex that's coming out, not Human Revolution, oh, damn, Mankind Divided?
Mankind Divided.
Yeah, is that they have new non-lethal tools. However, they're not stealth non-lethal tools. They're actually sort of things in which you can just run up and just knock somebody out, and what's it called, you know? Like, non-lethal things that just knock them out, you know? You're not being stealthy, you're just not killing them, you know?
Like a taser fist.
Not quite, but, you know, it's projectiles that do it, you know? And I remember, whenever you played the Splinter Cell games, they had that one type of the taser bullet in Sam Fisher's thing, which made it easier to be non-lethal, you know? You just sniped them and made them go to sleep. The only thing that bothered me in Human Revolution is if use the tranquilizer, the sniper tranquilizer, they eventually woke up again. You need stronger drugs. Keep them down longer.
Yeah. That's really all I wanted out of Dishonored 2, though, is to have more, like, more non-lethal tools for engagement, other than having to sleep dart them, take them, choke them out, or run away.
Or how about that seriously maim them, but not kill them?
Right. Like a non-lethal spring trap.
Like, I'm going to leave you a quadriplegic, but you're still alive.
Wow.
Anyways. Okay, first off, I've been playing... I finished Dragon Age Origins, and I'm three-quarters of the way through Dragon Age 2.
I should finish that game one of these days.
And when I tried to play Dragon Age Inquisition, I played for 5 minutes and said, screw that. I can't tell you how... repulsive, I don't mean in a looks thing, but just in a, oh god, this game sucks that way. I just can't play it. It just sucks.
Dragon Age 2?
No, Dragon Age Inquisition. Partly because the cheat codes don't work. And if you can have bad gameplay, then it at least allow me to run through the game without having to worry about these characters. I mean, one of the funny things is I started to like Dragon Age 2 more and more and more once I did the run script Kill All Hostiles cheat, and, you know, just got past the boring combat and just dealt with the story, which was much more intriguing. But Dragon Age Inquisition doesn't have that, and it doesn't have much of a the interaction sucks. You're so divorced from your companions in terms of talking to them, and I don't care if the Hawk comes back, you know. And what really irritates me is the Dragon Age keep. Why in the world, as a PC owner, would I have to create a save file instead of reading the Dragon Age 2 save files? This is not a console, you know?
Yeah.
But John Richardella did two things. One, he said everything had to be in Frostbite Engine. Not everything has to be in the Frostbite Engine. And two, everything has to have multiplayer. And then John Richardella was fired, and they said, okay, that doesn't have to be anymore. So they changed Dragon Age Inquisition into a single-player game, but they kept the MMO content. Everything is a boring fetch quest, and I'm at a point in which I forgot to grind. It's another thing. You have to grind, or else you're going to be... And the thing is, I use the trainer to level up my guys to maximum, so it's not even that. It just sucks, you know? And the minute someone makes a mod... Or something that makes me completely gives me a god mode, then I'll get back to it. But right now, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, at this late in the evolution of the gaming industry, there's definitely going to be those people who's like, oh, well, grinding is life. But you know what? It's not. Like, we all have things.
Really I'm in my 40s. I don't have time for your bullshit.
None of us do. We have better things to do than sit around killing the same enemy over and over again.
I remember grinding in Final Fantasy 1 and it could just to get a high enough level to beat the boss, and that was just painful.
How old are you?
Who wants to do that shit? Nobody.
How old
does.
Are you, Scott?
Oh, I was in elementary school.
Oh, see, here's the thing. When you're young, you don't mind repetition as much, but if you're in grade school and you find the grinding boring, then there's something wrong with your game.
Well, the other thing is that when you're freaking when I'm like 5 years old playing Dragon Warrior, it's because I have nothing better to do and my parents aren't going to go out and get me another game right now. That's going to be pretty much what I play until like next Christmas.
I enjoyed Athena on the NES, goddammit, and it's supposed to be a bad game. I didn't care. I stuck to it because what the hell? But now it's like, yeah, I get it. I get what you're trying to do. You know what? I don't care about clever. I care about KISS, you know? And if what you're doing is wrong, then I don't have to want to pay for your mistakes. That's what I liked about games like L.A. Noire, when you had the action moments. A, you could skip them entirely if you wanted to, but also would do something like, if you failed once or twice, it would say, listen, looks like you're having trouble with this. Just want to skip it? Yes, please. Just skip past it. I don't care. See, the thing is, these are narrative games. In a game that's an arcade game that doesn't have a narrative, like, say, let me pull one out of my ass. I don't want to say Super Mario, I want to say something else. The French game. Oh, fuck, I forgot his name. I forgot the French version of Mario. You know, who birthed the Raving Rabbids.
Rayman.
Rayman, right. If I'm playing Rayman, I don't care if I die in a level and have to go start at the beginning because it's a friggin' platform game. It's a puzzle game. It's an action puzzle game, and you're trying to figure it out. Fine, I get that. But if you're in a narrative, I don't want to see the same narrative over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know? It's a narrative. It's a story. It's supposed to move forward. You know?
Man. Games that don't have an option where you can just hit X and skip it after you've seen it once are painful.
Well, it isn't that they have unskippable cutscenes, although that is a pain. It's that... let me give you an example. Psychonauts. At one point, late in the game, the difficulty ramps up immediately, and then when you die, you have to hear the same rants from the from whoever you're being attacked by over and over and over again. And pretty soon you have it memorized. And I said, that's not fun. I heard you the first time. Just stop it. And that's what YouTube is for. YouTube is for that you can watch the ending without having to slog through the crap to do it.
Scott. What were you going to say, Scott?
I was saying that I remember how you're mentioning in Dragon Warrior 1 how you used to do that. And my wife actually played it on an emulator and altered the leveling, so that way she would get levels quicker, and she basically beat the game in an hour because, you know, there was really not much story element. The whole basis of that game was grinding.
Yeah,
the entire part of the game is to just kill as many people as possible while wiping.
Yeah.
There's a time and a place for the Dragon Warrior game style games in which you're just running around and killing it. That's the sort of game that is sort of like bragging with Dead Rising, bragging, look how many zombies we can have on the screen at once, or look how many people we can have on the screen at once that you can just kill with one hit.
Groundhog Day in video games. It's a thing.
Okay, the other the game I've been playing, or trying to play, is Total War Warhammer, and I got the High King Edition. What is the High King Edition, you may ask? That's the really, really fancy one with the metallic drinking horn and the whetstone necklace and the ring and the map and all the goodies, which I love. But the game itself is a big friggin' snore. And also, the play balance is bad. I mean, none of the... let me give you an example. In the Imperium campaign, a lot of the complaints people have is that when the Chaos Warriors come in to fight, that's it. Your campaign is done. You can't win, you know? And also, the battles are boring. They say, well, it's supposed to be tactical. But you know what? By that you mean I have to press space to pause it every 3 seconds to make sure the troops do what I want to do. And there's no manual that really tells you what you should be doing. And that irritates me to no end. They have a YouTube video. Yeah. You know what? I will spend $5 for a friggin' manual, okay? That's what I want. Just I'll spend the $5 for the printing, you know, for the manual.
Or just make a digital PDF at least.
They don't have that either, but you know, I just mean a manual that's sort of like spiral bound.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it comes with the game.
They don't do that anymore.
You know, something like that. I don't want to, you know, I remember buying a Sid Meier game and taking a bath with the book and just soaking in the bath, reading the reading all the instructions and also all the historical crap they had included with it as well, especially for Pirates and Railroad Tycoon.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it'll help too much, but mods, man.
Yeah.
Especially,
how about the Does Not Suck mod?
Yeah. Well, Chaos War, like...
No, here's the thing, is that you have quests... You see, normally you can just skip a battle and let it auto-resolve, but you can't do that for quests. And I'm thinking, why not? Just let me skip through the crap. I know, you know, if you're... Until I have a massive army that's just going to crush someone, and I want to watch them be crushed, then I'll watch the battle. Until then, I don't care.
Well, if you're interested, I've been collecting mods for Game Watcher, and I think I've gotten one or two. There's one on there that's for the Chaos Warriors that makes them not show up until much later. And then there's another that I've found. There's a couple that I found regarding combat to make it more interesting.
Oh.
I don't know. I would suggest having a look.
By the way, I also have the Chaos Warriors faction, and a lot of people were annoyed that they didn't come with the game unless you got the... Well, I don't care. I spent the money. I got the extra edition, so screw you. I pre-ordered. So, but I'm going to say this. It is one of the best limited editions in terms of swag that I've ever had.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, that drinking horn is big and heavy. It comes with its own stand. It's so heavy.
Nice.
The only thing I have a problem with is that the box is really, really huge, and the art book is attached to that box. And the art book is only have like 100 pages, and the box is emulates a, I don't know, 500,000-page book in comparison. So you have a bunch of pages on the top, and all this stuff there that you don't need, and you can't pull out the art book. It's a part of the box, which
That's
is really bizarre. Now I'm looking at my my huge Pillars of Destiny box.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the Pillars of Destiny box is four times smaller than the High King Total War Warhammer box.
I ended up getting the Overwatch Legendary Edition.
Ooh.
And that came with an art book and the soundtrack, which I love the soundtrack for Overwatch.
By the way, I hate to interrupt you, but that reminds me... the co-hosts, one of the former co-hosts' son, Alan, quit League of Legends because of the changes they made, and he didn't like the changes, so he switched over to, I think, Overwatch. So it'll be interesting to see how, and I heard he's not the only one, not the only League of Legends person defecting to Overwatch. So it'll be interesting to see how many, if Overwatch stays, because, what the hell are you doing?
Sorry, there's a motorcycle outside. I'm going to turn my mic off for just a sec.
No, you don't have to. I'm just... Because I need you to talk to them. That was just weird.
Yeah, sorry. That was one of my neighbors.
It's like, are you playing a game? Are you playing MotoFX or something? Anyways, I'll let you go on with Overwatch. But it's going to be interesting to see if Overwatch can keep the number of people that it's attracting. And from what I understand, it's mostly... 20% of it is South Koreans.
It's all going to depend on competitive mode, I think. It's also going to depend on what they release as far as, like, additional content in the form of heroes and maps. But what I'm seeing a lot of is that you can't really... I've lived in the League of Legends universe. I used to play that a lot. I made my gold five chops. But it's hard to compare the two just because... League of Legends is a point and click, very, very much a deliberative strategy. Whereas,
League of Legends people aren't going to go to Dota,
right? Right, because they're all I know about that animosity, but Overwatch is a
it's not even animosity. It's see, here's the thing: Dota is done by one guy, basically. You know, he does all the design decisions, while Overwatch is a collaborative effort from the creative team,
right?
So, you know, or League of Legends, I'm sorry, is a collaborative.
Yeah.
So what happens is when Dota does changes, they're big and sweeping. And, you know, when League of Legends does it, it's more like...
Fine-tuning details.
Fine-tuning details and often getting it wrong because too many cooks.
Yeah. But Overwatch is also a different kind of game. It's a Team Fortress game, but much more pretty and with lots more characters.
It's interesting because, you know... They're defecting. I don't know why. They just are. Now, before we get into the news, the other big thing that happened was Rebirth. DC Rebirth. And we're not going to talk about the Steve Rogers stupid thing, because I already know how it's going to... I already know how it's going to turn out. He was a Hydra agent when he was that skinny, scrawny guy. And over the years, he essentially silently defected to the United States. He was never actually a Hydra agent. He was a former Hydra agent, but he... Once he got the thing and he started seeing how great the U.S. is, he became Captain America, blah, 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 blah. That's how it's going to turn out. Yeah, he was a Hydra agent in the beginning, but he defected without telling anybody. And that's why they hate him, his guts. That's that's what's going to happen. It's predictable, you know, and people should stop. Because that's like saying, oh, Lex Luthor was actually Kal-El. No, it's not the way it's going to work. Rebirth.
Well, I mean, that's the exact kind of reaction that Marvel wanted from the beginning, though, is, oh my god, Captain America's a Nazi? What's wrong with you?
Well, not a Nazi, a Hydra agent, but yeah, it's one step from being a Nazi, yes. But I'm just saying, it won't change his character, and as a matter of fact, it'll make him seem better if he was a Hydra agent when he was that skinny, scrawny blonde. And then when he got the super, he was saying, well, I'm going to defect and become Super Hydra. And then he decides, no, wait a minute. America's actually better. And his patriotism is no longer just because he was born an American. It was a choice. He's an immigrant who became Captain America.
Yeah.
It actually improves his character because his patriotism is no longer expected of him. It was an actual choice that he made. End of storyline, and that's the way it's going to be, and it's not going to change a single page of his past, you know? So, as for Rebirth, and we're not going to give away the big spoiler, let's just say it's from a series that DC never touched for the past 30 years, and I'm wondering why it took them so long to bring that universe into this one, because every other universe has come into it. Look at Shazam. I mean, Shazam came from Earth S, you know, and all that stuff. So it doesn't bother me in the least. It doesn't. I agree with what the writer said. Geoff Johns is that, you know. Series like Watchmen and The Dark Knight Returns gave everybody the wrong ideas of what great comics were. They weren't great because they were dark and moody and dangerous. They were good because they were good stories. And the funny thing about Watchmen is that the argument by Watchmen was the opposite, that we needed our colorful heroes, that having these dark and grungy characters were bad.
Yeah.
And then you have Zack Snyder saying, well, you know, if I did Batman Begins, I would have had Batman raped in prison.
Zack Snyder is like the guy that reads something and just takes... He just goes in the complete opposite
direction. He liked Watchmen because there was sex and violence in it.
He needs to take that chip off his shoulders, what he needs to do.
He doesn't have a chip in his shoulder. He's just a bro dude.
He takes the shallow message and runs with it, as opposed to looking at the deeper meaning.
You know, when you make Michael Bay look nuanced, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there is.
Quick question. Speaking of Michael Bay, although he didn't direct it, now I know it's getting terrible reviews, but what do you think of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Out of the Ooze? And by the way, I'm shocked that they would actually blatantly remake the second original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
I thought it was a good nod to the just to the people that like that stuff. I mean, if you're not a fan,
I was shocked they would do something like what's his face, Krang or whatever that floating brain was.
Yeah,
I mean, that's so cartoony. But then again, I will say this though: it's a lot easier to do a cartoony thing of the live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 than it would be Transformers.
I haven't seen the movie yet, but I was kind of expecting Krang, so I'm kind of.
They showed him in the trailers, so yeah, they showed everything in the trailers because they knew that if they didn't, no one was going to go see it.
They've never done Krang ever, as far as I can remember. So it's kind of nice. It's like about time.
But the thing is that. At least it's an improvement over Transformers, because in Transformers, it looks like a junkyard exploded. You can't really tell who the characters are. I mean, is that Optimus Prime? I guess. I see some red. But everybody else, you can't tell. At least the Turtles, you can tell who the individual four Turtles are, for one. And you definitely can tell who Bebop and Rocksteady are. Mm-hmm. You know, and they look like Bebop and Rocksteady. They don't look like... I mean, Krang may look like a chewed piece of gum slapped on a thing, but at least he looks like Krang.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they made a lot of choices that was just like straight up, hey, this is what fans are looking for.
The thing the fans are complaining about, really, in terms of the characters, the way they look, is that Casey Jones's hair isn't long enough. He doesn't have a mullet.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all they have. That's the only complaint they have about the character design. So here's
I mean, Bebop has the purple sunglasses. Where the hell do you even find purple sunglasses like that in 2016?
Because the Ooze. They got it from the Ooze. So I'm just saying this. If you like the cartoon, you might enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
Because it's more like the cartoon than the first film was.
Yeah. I'm waiting for that Usagi Yojimbo crossover.
Oh, yeah. And they also recast Shredder yet again. And this time he's more like the original Shredder. In terms of that, he's a little bit more laid back and not, you know. Although if you want, I can always pop in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of Our Shells. you want to see a rock
band? I do like Usagi there, TJ. I always liked his character.
Oh, Usagi Yojimbo is in it too?
No, he's not. But I'm waiting for that crossover in the movies.
Well, it's not really a crossover because they inhabit the same universe. I mean, they're both Eastman and Laird characters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a crossover. It's just one of the characters from the universe entering in. And fuck it, if you have talking turtles, why not a talking rabbit, too?
Yeah. Well,
Angel and Buffy were in the same universe, but they still called it a crossover every time they had an episode
together. Yeah, no, that's BS. TV shows are different.
Okay.
Because you have to pay the actors.
You always have to pay the actors.
No, I mean you have to pay the actors extra because you're paying a lead actor. You have two lead actors, you have to pay them both. It's not one lead actor. I lost where I was going with this, too.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. Would you say that Arrow and The Flash crossing over on the same show as...
I think Flash Supergirl is more of a crossover because they actually have to change dimensions.
Hmm. Well, no, wait.
They have to change dimensions. They don't share the same universe.
Don't they? I thought it was Power Girl that was...
They actually have to... The Flash actually transported into an alternate dimension.
Ah.
So... the thing is that there's also a Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover going. I haven't checked to see what the responses are, but I always thought it was a natural fit.
Yeah.
So it can't be that bad. Anyways, we're going to move on to the video game podcast because it's not the Pop Culture Cop podcast. And last time we had to split the podcast into two because we went at 2 hours. Of course, Paul was there, so, you know.
I like him. We should bring him back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's on his schedule, not ours, so... Anyways, Xbox One about to become more Windows-like, and this comes to us from Time Magazine. Your Xbox is about to talk back to you, but in a good way, or at least a slightly better one. Let's clarify. For those interested who bought the Xbox One without Kinect, Microsoft's optional motion control sensor that's also a microphone into which people can bark voice commands is about to make things happen. Today, the Xbox One is a language desert, a place where you can just issue a few dozen or three word phrases as shorthand for functions you'd otherwise perform by tapping buttons on a gamepad or a traditional remote. We're talking about like turning the Xbox off, signing into Xbox Live Network, and relaunching the game movie, jiggering it, and so forth. Tomorrow's Xbox One, which is to say this week's Xbox One if you're in the Xbox Preview program. I am, and I haven't checked yet. Where the features are due imminently, will allow you to use Cortana with the Xbox One. As in Windows, Cortana, the semantic voice... she's basically the Microsoft version of Siri. Okay, yeah. Just so you guys know. Better still, where Xbox One voice control required Kinect, Cortana will allow you to use your headset. You'll still need Kinect if you want to apply the Xbox One's mostly off but listening mode where you say Xbox... I can't say that because it actually might turn on. Where you can say Xbox One, Xbox on, and wake it up, but it didn't hear me. But it looks like everything else will be headset ready. This is phenomenal news for those who sacrifice voice control but to buy the Xbox One without Kinect to save a pile of money. How nuanced this iteration of Cortana will be, we don't know. Here's the thing. Bing uses the same voice recognition, so I imagine that it'll use the same thing that the Bing search engine does, so yeah. It's a more natural voice control that means anything to you. You can't do it with Sony's PlayStation 4 yet, or any other console present. The update also includes other features like a Facebook friend finder, better Windows 10 integration, and some tune-ups to the existing features, but they're all tweaks compared to what's effectively the arrival of the world's first console-bound semantic voice recognition persona. And if you know anything about Halo 5, and I think we have enough time, so spoilers are no longer... if you haven't played Halo 5 by now, you're never going to play Halo 5. But in Halo 5, Cortana becomes evil and takes over the universe. So I'm thinking, is Cortana starting with my Xbox One now? Is she going to use it to take over the universe? She's already on my PC, now she's on my Xbox One. Oh my god, Cortana is actually Skynet, and we didn't even know it.
Oh dear.
Except she's hot. She's better than Skynet because she's hot, man. Look at her virtual body.
Hey, Terminator 3. We saw that hot isn't everything.
Yeah. So the big thing that I'm taking out of this really is that you'll be able to have the voice recognition with a headset, which is something I use my Kinect for almost entirely. You know, it's what I use it for. I go Xbox on, and then I, watch TV or whatever, go back, you know. So, yeah, I mean, you know, so you really don't need a Kinect now. The only thing you need a Kinect for is to turn on your Xbox without having to touch it.
Yeah.
I just wish Android's voice recognition was as good as Microsoft's.
It's okay. It's not bad. I mean, when I do Google search and I say find CVS locations in New York City,
like when I'm trying to get it to auto dial or you know to dial someone, I have to say okay Google now, and I have to say like 5 or 6 times before it finally recognizes that I'm saying it. It's frustrating.
Well, no, what I do is I just press the little mic button, and then
there's
no
mic button.
There should be a mic button right there where you.
I got on, off, up, down, and then there's a.
Oh god, I'm gonna have to work with you on your Android because it's standard Android. By the way, I've updated the Android software and it's like all the buttons have changed again. What they look like, really, the main buttons. Why do they do that? Why do they? We need to show something new, you know. Whatever. So. Let's talk about Microsoft in general with E3 because one of the big things that I hear that they're going to be announcing is they're going to be doing the backwards compatible for multi-disc, and that means hello Mass Effect 2, hello Mass Effect 3, hello Red Dead Redemption. So yeah, I mean that's it's sad when one of the biggest things that I'm really going to be excited over is what Xbox 360 games I can play on my Xbox One. I'm looking at my Red Dead Redemption right there, which is going to be the next item.
Good night.
Oh, boy.
Say goodnight to me, too, Zulfa!
This is scintillating radio. So, let's move on. Go ahead, TJ.
Red Dead Redemption 2 looks set to be revealed by Rockstar at E3 2016 from Express UK. The new Xbox One and PS4 title has long been rumored to be in development, even though the studio has remained tight-lipped on the matter. Reports at the start of the year provided information concerning a prequel setting and an RDR HD remake tie-in, while an alleged map showing a new area to explore also found its way to the internet.
Oh, by the way, that was confirmed as a real map by Rockstar itself, so yeah.
Excellent. I need to get a look at that. Pair that with the fact that Rockstar has been provided as a part of the E3 list supplied by the official Twitter account, without the likes of 2K Games, and it seems to justify a certain level of buzz. A more recent leak may also shed light on Red Dead Redemption 2, without the means of providing a release date or further gameplay details. The apparent source is from a website including work from a former Rockstar employee. This alleged site provided a look at his portfolio, containing what looks to be an image from Red Dead Redemption 2, and others reportedly connected to the Grand Theft Auto franchise.
Now, I recently saw today a video which discussed all this stuff, and there's a lot of interesting things. For example, there are railroad tracks missing from certain parts of the map, which were there in Red Dead Redemption, and this has caused a lot of speculation that this is actually going to be a prequel. And from there, people started speculating, you know what, this might be just like Grand Theft Auto 5, in which you have multiple characters that you switch between, right? And one of the things that they brought up is, well, maybe on one side you'll be John Marston when he was an outlaw. Remember the backstory? He was part of a gang, the... what was the name of that gang again? The Mason Williams gang or something like that. And on the other side, you're a lawman. And what's it called? The storylines merge at near the end, right? Or at some point. If this is a prequel, there will be no... It looks like it's going to be in the 1860s, which means there's no cars. or 1880s, whatever, none of the stuff you see in 1911. It'll be very interesting. Also, a part of it is you're going to be exploring one of the new areas is a marsh. Not the marsh that you saw in the game, but this is going to be a bigger marsh. And then you're going to be exploring the Great Plains. And there's also going to be a larger Mexico content, but it's going to be... It's a button, so you actually, like in Fallout, you know, when you have different mods, you actually get to travel there through some device, and you travel back. You know, it's going to be a separate module on its own. That's Mexico.
Like with the Far Harbor one.
Yeah, or even the Pit, or, you know, all the other ones that yeah. you know, you travel between. So, DJ, what do you think? Are you up for some RDR?
Oh, my God, yes. I was looking at this game because its anniversary, Red Dead Redemption's anniversary came up at the end of last month, I do believe. Uh-huh. And I was looking at it real hard, and I realized this is the only open world real Western game. There are others that try the Western thing, but nothing quite on the scope of like how like we look at the Western as a genre and like film, or as like how it extends to its like purpose in literature or other media. And I am so excited to re-explore that kind of space where it's just like these feelings of loneliness and the far frontier, the wild west.
I enjoyed Gun, just so you know.
I really liked Red Dead Redemption. I liked the way it felt very dangerous running around, because like just anything could just jump out and kill you in 2 seconds.
Pumas, yes. Or if you're playing with the zombie apocalypse, zombie puma.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And I would like. If you think about like the character setting, I would think that it would almost be just like different members of the Dutch gang.
That would be awesome.
There we go. His name was Dutch. Got it.
Because you had Dutch Vanderlyn, and then you had Bill Williamson and Javier Escuela, and every one of these dudes was from a far different like background. If you looked at them, Javier Escuela would be perfect for exploring the Mexican.
You'd actually have him as part of a Dutch as the Dutch gang. It might be before he was part of the Dutch gang, because you know you can kill everybody. So what happens if you kill Dutch?
Yeah, but it could also be the way in which these like far different elements came together into one group.
Yeah. The other thing they're talking about is multiplayer, and how the Red Dead Redemption multiplayer was the seed from which the Grand Theft Online was made. So you can have another evolution there if you if you go from there, you use what you learn from Grand Theft Auto Online and use it for Red Dead Redemption's online. I will say, by the way, Red Dead Redemption is the last open world game I actually completed. And I did not complete Skyrim 5. I did complete Fallout 4. I'm sorry. Although, it depends on what you consider complete for Fallout 4. Actually, you know what? Speaking of Fallout 4 mods, something we were talking about earlier in this podcast, the one I really should download for it is the one that turns bobbleheads into quests. And what happens is you find out each of them has a little chip in them, and you can track them, so you can go after the bobbleheads without having to you know, do a random search for it. Now it'll just appear on the map, and you have to get it that way. You know, take the so you don't have to look at some game guide as you're playing.
Oh, because that's so odious.
Yes, it is. I want it as part of a mission, and I want it. It's like the question marks in Batman Arkham Asylum. Remember? I mean, you saw they were there, you just have to find them.
Yeah. Well, there was also the mod in Skyrim for the Baratheon stones. There's like 34 of them or something.
Okay.
And a mod will just show you all the indicators where they all were, so you didn't have to follow a guide either for that one.
I mean, it's sort of like what happens in the mod for... the quest with Nick Valentine, in which you have to go through all those things and get those audio tapes, right? You know they're in the police station, you just have to go to the police station. There's no mystery of where they're supposed to be. I like that with the bobbleheads, you know. Yeah, you'd have to fight through acres of maybe enemies to get to them. But I don't want, you know...
But they'd be at some Acme store or something like that.
I'm just tired of having to search for these things. It's like,
I know, because exploring sucks so much.
No, I'd like to concentrate on other things, you understand? And basically it's just for an achievement.
I get it. Open world games just aren't your bag. It's okay.
No, it's good open world games are my bag, like Red Dead Redemption. So, Scott, your impressions of, or at least anticipation for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Well, I would really look forward to it. I hope it has a good story like it, the first one did, or at least the one on PlayStation 2 or 3 was. And, yeah, I mean, I kind of don't like prequels because I feel, you know, a lot of times they've already established a story. I want something new. But with the way the second one ended, you kind of, I don't know where you would have to go. Maybe with his son or just, I don't know, some parallel story or something like that.
Well, if you recall, the story in Red Dead Revolver and Red Dead Redemption are two entirely different stories. You don't and that's sort of how Grand Theft Auto goes. You don't have any sort of connection between.
But I think this is. But all indications are it's going to be a prequel, which is fine. I mean, you know, if it's a prequel, that's fine. I mean, the first Red Dead Redemption ended perfectly.
Yeah,
you know, especially when you're sorry, spoilers for a several years old game. When you were Jack and you shot the FBI guy,
Edgar Ross.
What I loved was it was like all of a sudden the screen went black and it said redemption.
Yeah,
that was really cool. Because the thing is that you knew. Now I had a strong inkling that again, spoilers for a several years old game, that John Marston was going to get shot up. When all the quests for a while were these dumb, small quests of going around the farm, and it's like sending out red alarm, beep, 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 something bad is really going to happen, beep, 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 you know? Especially when the music starts playing, not the Dead Man's Gun, but the other game, when you're going home, this soulful song starts playing, and say, oh yeah, this is not going to end well for John, not one bit.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you ever listen to the lyrics for Dead Man's Gun, it actually spoils the entire plot of the game for you.
I will say this. This is going to be the challenge for Red Dead Redemption 2, because one of the greatest things about Red Dead Redemption 1 is that even though it's a freaking giant desert that you're exploring, it feels so full of life.
It does. You might. There were times where I would stop and kind of look at the scenery, and the next second I'm getting torn to shreds by a mountain lion.
Yeah, you got puma'd. The other thing is that the indication that put me over the top from thinking that Red Dead Redemption was not only special but was brilliant was the I Know You series of missions.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The guy that people.
The guy with the black hat and yeah. You know, my favorite people, line is, you know. He shoots him three times, and he says, "Damn you!" And he says, "I have been Mr. Marston by many people."
Yeah, people.
And you don't know, he could be either God, the devil, yeah. Or an angel, you know. And I always did, you know, what's it called? And that's the part where they're questioning your morality. And I always did the right things for that, so you know. And the thing is, he says, "This is a great spot, isn't it?" And you find out later so where they are is this is Freecher Grave. And like I said, you know, I think this had the best writing of any of Rockstar's games. L.A. Noire comes a close second, but only because I recognize that L.A. Noire, and people don't want to accept this, but the entire stuff with Cole, or whatever his name was it Cole? Anyways, that was all backstory. That was 7/8 of L.A. Noire was a tutorial.
Yeah.
And the actual story is because how does that begin with a mysterious femme fatale comes walking into a detective's office, telling her about her disgraced what's it called lover and all that stuff. This is where most film noir movies begin.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, anyways, and besides which, Cole was an asshole.
Yeah, cheated on his wife for no reason. It looks like.
No, he was horny and she was beautiful and yeah.
Yeah, no reason, like I said.
Well, there was
a
reason.
A wife.
There was a reason. He was just not a... Yeah,
not a good
Cole
one.
Phelps, that's right.
Not that there is a good one.
I mean, but at least you got to follow his rise and fall.
Yeah.
You know? And you started caring about this character, and then he just started doing things like, what are you doing? And it was not... There were actions that were not controllable by you.
It just didn't make any sense. It just
it made
came
perfect
out of
sense.
Nowhere.
It's just that when you really like someone and they start doing bad things, it's sort of like... why are you doing this? And you can't confound it, and you realize that you never really knew them. And the thing is that you find out he was a prick when he was at war. You know? Kelso talks about this guy, you know, he doesn't know him anymore, and they all talk about how... about, we don't want to be involved in this scheme and sell drugs with the other Marines, you know. They'll lose respect for him as Marines if they have to go through the drug profiting like Cole did. It's a great story. It just makes you love a character and then watch him disgrace himself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where the only thing is death is the only thing that redeems him.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we're going to move on to the next time. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Dead Rising 4 leaks ahead of E3. This from Techno Buffalo. Today we have a rumor for beloved Capcom franchise.
By the way, when we say rumor today, we mean at the time of this recording. This news, when I record it, is like 3 hours old right now. So this is fresh hot off the press.
Dead Rising 4 has leaked ahead of Microsoft's E3 2016 unveiling. There are a few sources supporting this rumor. We've put all the leaked images in the gallery at the head of this post. First, Redditor CodeBoy01 posted the shot of some artwork for Dead Rising 4. They claim they had to make these at their work, and they offer up at the it's going to have the original character and be in a mall again.
You know, he's covered wars. He may seem like a scummy guy, but I really do like Frank. Come on, what's not to like about Frank West, especially in
everything?
Well, what about in Dead Rising 2 when he's in that wrestling outfit? You know what I like about Frank also? He's fat. you don't normally see a fat hero.
I like Chuck Green because he's handsome.
You haven't played enough games then.
But Frank West covered wars. Don't you know? Actually, he lied about that. He never did cover wars.
Oh, so he's like that one anchor, huh? I was there, not really.
He's the Cole Phelps of zombie games.
There we go.
Yeah, but he did. See, deep down, Frank is an okay guy, you know, and he never cheated on anybody either. Although he did.
Yeah, neither did John Marston either. Now, King
John Marston
story.
Is a lot better than any of them. Well, unless you played John Marston as a murdering psychopath.
Yeah.
The only people he didn't murder was his wife and son.
He would never sleep with the hookers. That was like that. Not even an option.
His wife was a hooker. His wife was a hooker.
Well, he's married to her, so...
You know, yeah. I mean, but she was a hooker when she was...
Okay, and then he married her.
No, I'm just saying, so he has some knowledge about it, you know, he...
Yeah, but I mean, he's currently... When you're playing the game, you're currently married, yeah. And he doesn't sleep around.
I'm willing to bet you that he's... John is the sort of person who would pay a hooker and then just talk to her all night instead of sleeping with her.
Yeah.
You know, just spend the... And okay, $10, let's say, in that currency in 2011, and then just talk for a bit much, and then say goodnight.
Yeah,
1911, not 2011. Then we have this Gen Gaming with a shot of the game and a loading screen, likely captured standing next to a TV or display. They offer that the game is a remake of the original title with cooperative play added.
Oh, he's going to be mashed up with Chuck. It'll be Frank and Chuck together again. Woohoo!
Finally, we have NeoGAF insider Ekem with a tweet. Dead Rising 4 is a remake of DR1.
That game.
They did improve. Some of these JRPGs do take out the grinding. Like, you don't have to grind.
Save points, and I'm going to just say three words, Lost Planet 2.
Yeah. Yes. Ugh.
So yeah, I hope they make it not suck. Although I will say, you know, co-op might make it better, because I really hated the bosses in the game. I know that some people liked them. I hated the bosses in Dead Rising. You know what I wanted to do in Dead Rising? Kill zombies.
Yeah. And I wonder if they'll implement like the thing where you make weapons. Because that didn't come along until Dead Rising 2, but it's something a lot of people like.
I just prefer the photo. I just like snapping shots of zombies. Although I always had one eyebrow up when you had to take the sexy picture of a desiccated woman in a bikini. Oh, that's really hot.
That's that's another thing that's a very... The exploitation factor is kind of
ridiculous. That exploiting? It's just like, what's so sexy about that?
I mean, exploitative as a as sort of like a subgenre.
I hope you guys
zombies and sexy don't no those don't belong in the same sentence.
Do you remember how much of a bitch fit everyone threw when Deep Silver was ready to release Dead Island Special Edition with that bust of a mutilated lady torso?
I don't remember. I did get a code.
I just remember Dead Island sucking.
I did get a code for the Xbox One version. I don't know if I'll play it or not because I already have Dead in my on my hard drive on the PC, and it's just like there's just so much room on my Xbox One, and I'm thinking maybe I'll give it away. I don't know yet. I'll ask the PR person if it's okay to give it away instead of just actually playing it. And
the original special edition of Dead Island Riptide was slated to come with a. Not I.
Okay, because my computer is doing fucking strange stuff, and now it's asking. I don't know what's going on. I think it's AOL. And it's screwing. AOL, no, it's screwing up my computer, and I don't know if we're recording or not. It's really pissing me off. And the thing is that all tabbing and control alt deleting is not bringing up the task manager, but it's not helping. And I'm worried that either this is not recording. And well, is
your recorder in the processes?
The thing is that when I looked at Skype, it said, "No, what the fuck is this? This customized toolbar?" Okay, here we are. AOL software, get the fuck out of my life right now. Bye bye. Out. And then Adobe Flash, go the fuck away. I'm gonna tell you something. I hope they destroy Adobe Flash because no one has any use for it anymore.
Yeah.
You know. It says recording on, so we'll see.
Welcome. Goodbye.
No. You see, that's the other thing I hate about the software, AOL software, is that it thinks when you tell it to go away, it just wants you wanted to come back, and you have to say no, out.
Why are you still using AOL? Why are you one of the 2 million people still using it?
Because it's a long time email address. That people still email me at?
I can't even say anything.
I have a Gmail account, yes, but I also have the AOL.
I have a Yahoo one, but at least it doesn't drive me this batty.
No, you know what I really should be doing is doing AOL in browser rather than because it's less of a pain. Anyways, you were saying about Dead Rising.
So Dead Island Riptide with the special edition for it was originally
there's no such thing as a special edition of Riptide.
Okay.
There's no such thing as a special edition of any Dead Rising Riptide.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dead Island Riptide. My bad. It was originally slated to...
No, I mean Dead Island Riptide
with...
either. There's no such thing as a special edition of that, too.
Isn't? Yeah, there is.
No, there isn't. None of them are special. Oh, unless you mean as in school.
I see what you're going for
education.
Now.
You know, it should be like Red Letter Media, and I should have the slide whistle ready at the go.
I would
be
giving you I would be giving you that deadpan stare as it zooms in on me. But it was originally slated to come with a bust of a mutilated female torso in a bikini, and people were so pissed off that shit went right offline. And like,
you know, in Japan they don't care. I mean, remember the motion controlled breasts. And you had that advertisement for Ninja Sigma Black 2, which was for the PS4, I believe. You know, when PS3, you know, it was the PS3 version of the Xbox game, and they stuck a pair of breasts on a wall, and people just walked up, guys too, just walked up and fondled them for no reason. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a reason, but it's just, yeah. they should have had that for Japan. They love breasts. They're not hypocritical like us, you know, in which we cover our eyes but open our eyes our fingers just enough to peek through them.
And I think we've arrived at a point where, like, you could get away with that in the original Dead Rising release, but now I think people are ready. Like, with it, as interconnected as we are, I think people are ready to say this is stupid and you're stupid. Just make a good game.
Anyways, just final thoughts on Dead Rising 4. Please don't fool me. I mean, I'm probably going to get it. I just don't want to be fooled again into getting Dead Rising and thinking I would enjoy it. At least if there's co-op, maybe it'll be less annoying. But how can you call Dead Rising 4 if it's a remake of Dead Rising 1? I don't care. Just make it good. And remember, Frank's covered wars. Anyways, moving on to the next item. Nintendo is showing more than just Zelda at E3 after all, but still no NX, and this comes from Forbes. Nintendo has been shying away from a traditional E3 presence for a while now. First, they did away with their stage show in favor of an extended video presentation. Isn't that exciting? And then this year, they said they weren't even going to have one of those either, and their focus on E3 2016 would be The Legend of Zelda and The Legend of Zelda alone. The Wii U game has been delayed for two different years now and is now a cross-platform NX game and should be finally arriving in 2017, probably alongside The Last Guardian, I'm sure. But even if it's a big title, it does seem odd that Nintendo would only feature one game in their entire E3 show, and it turns out they're not actually doing that. Nintendo has now announced E3 looks at other games, still nothing about their next console, the NX, according to the press release. Nintendo at E3 starts at 9 a.m. PT Pacific Time on Tuesday, June 14th. Tune in starting at 9 to see Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon in action, followed by the world's first in-depth look at the new Legend of Zelda game. They will continue with live-stream gameplay and behind-the-scenes info from the game experts at Nintendo Treehouse, live and unscripted from the show floor. Unscripted? Yeah, sure. And then be sure to come back for a special day of live-streaming starting at 10 a.m., Pacific Time at June 15th. Today we'll start with a special Pokemon Geo developer question and answer system. Then a session, then Nintendo Treehouse Live will showcase the upcoming games such as Monster Hunter Generations, Dragon Quest VII, Fragments of the Forgotten Past, and Tokyo Mirage Sessions, number sign FE. See, this is what I'm talking about with this weird things. Like, this is like Guilty Gear. I think Guilty Gear had one of the number symbols too, didn't they? Or a carrot. You know, the original statement talked about Zelda and Zelda alone as the showcase, which was not even a hint that the info that other games should be shared. Either that wasn't communicated properly, or perhaps Nintendo's realizing that showing exactly one game at the biggest gaming show of the year isn't exactly the confidence building exercise they needed. Yeah, if you're only showing, you know, who shows one game at E3? Indie developers.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, I think Nintendo doesn't care if they're going to come in third. I don't think they even think of that anymore. I remember them saying, well, mobile phones are our competitors now.
I'm disappointed, really.
What, don't you like Zelda? Especially if it's coming a year from now?
I just wish there was more. I wish they would be, like, just have more on their play for what's coming. I mean, they're a big game company that can produce many, many games, whereas some like other
Pokemon. Yeah,
don't want Pokemon. Oh my god.
Yeah, you remember that whole thing we were talking about at the beginning of this episode about grinding? I've never finished a Pokemon game ever.
Started one.
Well, here's the thing about Pokemon. It's a nice, but the thing is, the combat is repetitive, and it's not to do with grinding really so much as it is. Okay, can you get something new? Anything new? You know? I mean, I guess people will be excited over Monster Hunter Generations and Dragon Quest
VII. I'm more interested in other developers that might be there, like Bethesda or Obsidian.
I think they've given up on third-party. Third-party developers have given up on them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They got burned by them. I mean, what did Zombie U do for them? Nothing.
Dragon Quest is Square Enix.
Yeah, I know. So. Well, okay. But see, that's a staple, though.
Yeah.
It's like Monster Hunter is not Nintendo either.
Yeah. But
let me ask you a question. When was the last time a Nintendo console had a real racing game? And I don't mean a kart game. I mean something like Gran Turismo or Forza.
I think that was like Ridge Racer way back.
No, but, I don't consider that's an arcade racer. I'm talking about a real racer, you know?
Oh, in that case, probably never.
Never. I mean, I know they had
F-Zero.
Yeah, I mean, okay, let's say F-Zero, and then what? They haven't done anything like that. You know, everything is Mario Kart now. I mean, people get bored of Kart. I mean, not the kiddies, but...
I mean, it's just like they're scared to introduce anything aside from their plumber, their Metroid or Zelda.
They're scared to introduce a lot of other things. They're scared to include Pic. I don't know if I would really be, you know, go, oh, wow about it, but what about a Pikmin 4? I mean, It's like...
Yeah. Did they finally stop doing Mega Man, or did that transfer to somebody else?
That could have been an article unto itself as well. Mike number 9, and the new trailer just made everybody go nuts in a bad way. I mean, it was like, oh my god, it looks so cheap.
Oh my god, it was cringeworthy. It was... The moment they hit the line of "this will be anime fan making fun of it,"
and I think they must.
Oh yeah, they insulted the gamers too. Yeah, you nerds have no lives, so play our game. Yeah, these are the guys who backed your fucking product, guys. Yeah. They're the ones who prepaid for it. They helped you make the game, and now you can insult them.
But yeah, the short answer to the Mega Man question, Scott, is that Capcom runs it, Mega Man, but they've lost a lot of the key people that handled it.
Okay. Yeah, the key people are making Mighty No. 9 and making
It seems that's the same thing that happened with Konami, with Castlevania, and Suikoden.
Yeah. See what happens with Yooka-Laylee. It actually is one of the games that isn't bombing right now in terms of interest, you know, and people not going, why did I back this? Yeah. I mean, for one thing, I mean, what I would love to see, by the way, is Microsoft allow them to include characters from Banjo-Kazooie just to screw people's heads. It's like, wait a minute. We have a cameo from the characters from Banjo-Kazooie. Anyway,
I think that would be fun.
I don't know. Did people really... Were they clamoring for these streams by Nintendo? I mean, when they decided they weren't going to be on the show floor, they weren't going to do their press. They didn't go. They weren't going to do their press briefing, but they were going to do a video.
People out there are begging for, like, diehard fans of Nintendo are begging for Nintendo to just, like, come out and say, just at least please tell us that it's going to be okay. Stroke our head and say it'll be all right.
Yeah, but you know, see, here's the problem: is Nintendo's done what Nintendo's wanted for so long because they had no competitors, you know, for the 80s and 90s. And
they had Sega Genesis.
They weren't competitors. By a long shot. Not in sales.
Yes,
though.
They were. No, yes,
not
they
in
were.
Sales. Sorry.
They were.
We're Sega now.
When you had people who were Sega or Nintendo versus each other, and you had Sega making fun of Nintendo, they were competitors. Maybe
they're competitors.
They were competitors.
That's why Sonic and Mario are racing each other now on games.
Yeah, now because they own it. But back in the 80s and 90s, there were people.
They own them now. That's the problem. They were competitors, and now Nintendo owns their characters.
Yeah, Nintendo won.
So, but the thing is that I'm just saying Nintendo had so little. What's it called? You know, they could force third-party developers to do these outrageous licensing fees to get that stupid Nintendo seal of approval, which meant nothing. Yeah. Only that you paid money to Nintendo to have that badge there. Since old people and children like the Wii, they thought, "Hey, we're back on top because we have so long." And they didn't realize that, you know, yeah, maybe you shouldn't market to old people so much and young kids, and start paying more attention to your core audience. I mean, the core audience were all set on I forgot the name of that Ubisoft game in which you used your your Wiimote as a sword.
Red Steel.
I mean, the hardcore were really on to it. Yeah, that's what we want, you know. And Nintendo took longer than Microsoft to realize that motion control wasn't a good idea.
You had a moment where Nintendo seemed like they were going to open it up and try more things. Like, that's where we got things like...
the heart monitor,
That's where we got things like Mad World, where they were willing to take chances on outside sources.
Mad World was, you know...
Mad World was super interesting for a Nintendo product.
Yeah. But then no one bought Mass Effect 3 for Nintendo Wii U. But, everybody else has played it on something else, and B, you're not offering Mass Effect 1 or Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
If you're going to release it on the Wii U, include ME1 and ME2 on the disc. Oh, by the way, that's something I wanted to say. How much you want to bet there's going to be a special edition bundle of Red Dead Redemption 2, which will include the original Red Dead Redemption and the zombie apocalypse on the disc itself?
I wouldn't doubt it. That would be a genius idea.
Yeah. And the thing is, they already have... see, that's what Microsoft has been doing as well. People have been making games for Xbox One. They have these codes. Hey, unlock this backwards compatible game. You know?
As for, like... The Legend of Zelda, it's not going to be enough to pull anything, because we know it's not coming for another year, at least. Pokemon Sun and Moon...
ends up going on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, because Nintendo stopped making video games. That's not going to happen, but...
Pokemon Sun and Moon, it's like, okay.
You want evidence of how bad Nintendo's doing right now? Kingdom Hearts 3 is not going to be on a Nintendo console.
Ah.
That should tell you right there what's wrong with Nintendo right now. Kingdom Hearts 3 is not going to be on a Nintendo console. That's shocking. This is Disney. This is the stuff that Nintendo... What's it called? Nintendo... slavers over, you know, it's like, you know, cute RPG, great characters, but not this time, because no one is buying the game on your damn console, you know. What Nintendo needs to do is make a console that's $150 at launch, that everybody will buy simply because it's cheap.
And no more remote.
Or... Yeah, I know. There's a lot of people who love that screen. We'll see what happens with the NX, though. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The NX better damn be able to do a lot of things. It better be able to make your coffee. You know. It has to be the next generation Siri. You know. Siri tells you where the Chinese food is or the pizza place is. No. The NX will actually call the place and pay for it for you.
You do that on your phone already.
Yeah, but you don't have a console to do it. Oh, by the way, consoles are cheaper than cell phones. Or at least, you know. Anyways.
I need the NX to be just a straight-up injection of nanomachines that fill my brain and give me the exact feeling.
I was about to say, the NX has to be just like the PS9. Remember the PS9 commercial?
Oh, so you want that thing that was on Star Trek with Wesley, had the little glasses.
The game.
And just, like, inject pleasure into his
the
head.
The worst game. Yes. The game. One of the worst episodes. The game. Really? Seriously? That'll make me not want to play in an NX now.
Only because you associate it with Wesley Crusher?
No, just that episode.
I didn't think that was the worst episode.
Oh, God, it was one of the worst. I mean, it wasn't Sub Rosa, but it was bad. Anyways, we also have some listener mail. It's from the same guy who wrote last time, basically explaining his reference before. From L4D, I referenced the part from episode 423 regarding Jesse Eisenberg in American Ultra, where he's paranoid anxious until he gets his weed, and how stoners can get paranoid after they've had a high and think the cops are coming. And then he explains, my username was supposed to have a cool A as a 4, so it read as Lad. I was using this username before Left 4 Dead was publicly announced, and my Steam account is @_4, but I don't like to tell people for this for fear of hacking. My Steam account creation date was in April 14th, 2004, which is really near the beginning, because that's when I remember when I pre-ordered Half-Life 2, which is going to be the first game on Steam. So yeah, that's pretty old. I have a similarly named Gmail account with L4D in it, which was created at around that time too. So yeah, I don't remember. I remember vaguely talking about American Ultra. So at least we get some context for that. Look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history article. If you hear your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast, or send us your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave some iTunes comments. I am at Jonah Falcon. He is at Chub. Oh, God, I forgot it.
Johnny Chugs.
I am at Johnny Chugs.
Johnny Chugs, right. There's a Chuff Money, which is Anthony Gallegos, and for some reason I got you two confused. And he is at Alpha Shard. Scott, that is.
Yes.
So, anyways, yeah, I had to wrap this up pretty quickly because we're hitting the hour 30-minute mark, and I didn't want this to get too far. I mean, if Paul was with us, it'd probably be 2 hours plus right now.
Yeah,
when you go to E3, definitely find out if Obsidian or Bethesda is showing anything.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be at Bethesda's thing, and I'm going to be at Microsoft's thing.
Okay.
So that, definitely. And I'm pretty sure Bethesda's going to be unleashing the Dishonored 2.
Woohoo!
Anyways, we will talk to... Actually, what happens is we're going to be doing a podcast from E3... and I'm going to be going for my cell phone, so there will be no podcast notes, just me rambling on about what I saw and what I did. And I'll see if I can upload the episode almost immediately, maybe when I cut back on Friday. I don't know. Anyways, we will see you. Oh, by the way, that means, by the way, you're going to have to record it, Scott. Okay. And TJ, or whoever wants to record it, you can record it for me.
Tidy.
Anyways, we will see you next week for live from E3.
Happy Woo-hoo. Gaming, everyone.
Take it easy.
And stop. You know, I would like to do a live show, though. Just, you know, somehow do it so that people can listen in and do questions, but I don't think that'll be possible.
No.
No. You know, I know they do it on the Turncast. You guys do live episodes on the Turncast, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Not Turncast, Polycast.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you too.
Okay, so I'll let you guys go. And